If you really knew me.
If you really knew me.
If you really knew me.
If you really knew me, you would know.
Hey! Who are you?
Who, me?
Yeah, you!
It's Monday!
Hello and welcome to If You Knew Me Mondays, a student-powered, Park Day-inspired podcast that builds belonging by sharing stories and perspectives from the margins of our school and community.
Say what?
My name is Keaton, and I'm an 8th grader at Park Day. If you really knew me, you'd know that I've been at Park Day since 1st grade.
My name is Oliver. I'm also an 8th grader at Park Day. And if you really knew me, you would know that I've dyed my hair 6 different times.
And I'm Juicefer, a 7th grader at Park Day. And if you really knew me, you would know that I'm absolutely obsessed with the movie Tangled because I love Disney and Rapunzel. Friday's around the corner at Park Day. And on today's episode, we're going to help you get ready for all that we have in store. Every school year, during the last week of May, at Park Day, we focus our collective attention on celebrating gender equity and equality. Every year, it looks a little different, but the goal is always the same: to explore how the struggle of LGBTQ plus rights intersects with many social justice causes, and to center the ever-powerful and ever-evolving spectrum of gender expression.
This year, on Friday, May 24th, we have a whole day of Pride programming to complement everything you're learning about in your classroom. On that day, you can expect an all-school Pride assembly and a parade through our neighborhood like we've done in the past. But there's so much more.
We're also partnering with several queer and transgender changemakers who do incredible work in our East Bay community and beyond. Have you ever heard of the Out and About mobile bookshop? They're a lavender-colored school bus that's been transformed into an imaginative play space that centers kid-friendly queer literature. They're pulling up in front of our beautiful magnolia tree so lower school students can climb in and check out their amazing selection of rainbow-inspired reading.
But wait, there's more. Our Middle School Gender and Sexuality Alliance, also known as the GSA, has dreamed up something that will go down in Park Day history. Our first ever Pride Runway workshop and performance. To help bring this dream to life, two local drag artists, Lael Day and King Lotus Boy, will bring their magic to the stage, showing Park Day students how to do the same. In their own unique way, of course.
We also want and need your participation, students. There's a number of ways, including submitting an original piece of Pride-inspired artwork to be featured in our Prideful Expressions art gallery, and contributing your voice into a survey designed to protect transgender and two-spirit students in schools across California.
We know. That's an earful. So we'll slow down and cover each of these topics one at a time. Thank you for tuning in to our Pride Week special. Now let's get started. On a personal note, Pride is so important to me because me and many of my friends identify as queer, and Pride is a time to celebrate this part of myself. It's sort of like a mirror.
It's super important that all students have mirrors at school that reflect their own identity and experience. And for me, Park Day GSA is just that. Our middle school GSA is a safe and affirming space for me. It gives me a place to be strengthened by the presence of other queer, non-binary, and transgender students, and our allies too, of course.
Pride is an important time for the GSA. The last couple of years has seen the GSA design a queer counter and the rainbow path between the field and the Magnolia building. Both of these are featured in previous podcast episodes. Check them out on the If You Knew Me Mondays archive.
The affinity and affirmation that the GSA provides is more important than ever because across many states, there are anti-LGBTQ plus legislations that aim to deny equal rights, not to mention the very humanity of LGBTQ plus people. We're talking about hateful laws that prevent transgender people from using the restroom of their choice, laws that prevent them from accessing healthcare, and laws that prevent people from using the word gay.
There are even laws in a number of states that ban books that affirm inclusive gender expression in schools. Can you imagine that?
That's why our first guests on today's episode are so important. I'm talking about Katie Butler and Charlie McDonald. Katie and Charlie are close friends and the people behind the Out and About mobile bookshop. We recently caught up with them for a quick interview ahead of their visit to Park Day. Can you guess where? In their element, of course, at the Bay Area Book Fair. Here they are now.
We are at the Berkeley Public Library, and we're part of the Bay Area Book Festival. Today is the first day that they're doing a family day inside the library.
That's exciting. Can you introduce yourself by sharing your names, relationships to Out and About, and any aspects of your identity you'd like to share with the Park Day community?
Absolutely. My name is Katie. My pronouns are she, her. I'm one of the co-owners and dreamers of Out and About Bookshop, and I'm a white, queer, cisgender woman that lives in San Francisco.
My name's Charlie, and my pronouns are they, them. I also drive the bus with Katie. I live in Oakland with my partner. I'm a white, queer person. I identify as trans and non-binary, and I like the color purple.
What do you think is the relationship between Out and About and Pride?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that for us, we truly live by the fact that Pride is all the time. And that's one of the coolest things about our bus is that it doesn't matter what month it is. We're always out there full of queer books written by queer authors or that have queer characters. And so I think Pride, we often joke it's kind of like our holiday season. Like that's when the most schools want to book us and that's when museums are asking us to come. But what we really appreciate is when a museum says, please come in June, but then we'd also like to see you other times during the year so people understand that it's, you know, happens all the time and every day. And so I think for us, we get to celebrate Pride all the time. We always carry books about Pride.
Yeah, I know there's like all these big corporations that only do Pride one month, but it really is every month that it's important to celebrate Pride. What was the journey or the motivations that led you to create Out and About?
Well, it all started on a kayak ride in Alameda. I shared with Charlie that I was thinking about not being a teacher anymore. I was a teacher for a long time. And Charlie said, if you weren't a teacher, what else would you do? And I said, I would love to open a bookstore. We started naming all these different things where you could have a bookstore.
Different vehicles where you could put a bookstore. And one day I was on the internet looking at different websites and I found you can buy a bus off the internet. And I found this bus. It was painted the trans flag color. So it's pink, white, and blue. And I sent it to Katie, who was teaching that day. And I was like, I found our bus. And it felt like this magical moment that this trans bus came into our life. We didn't even have a name for our business. We didn't even know if we were going to do this, but the bus came to us first, so we were like, let's do it.
And then we went to go visit the bus on my grandmother's birthday. She had just passed away, and we went and we found this bus. The bus is now named after both of our grandmothers that passed away in the first year that we did this business. So her name is Sully Jo. And we went to go see this bus, and when we got there, there was a queer person waiting outside, and Charlie and I showed up with both of our spouses, and they went inside, and they said, you'll never believe who's here to buy the bus. They were queer. They were expecting a baby, as was Charlie's family, and it turned into this very cool community. We're now very good friends with them and raising our kids together, and they had used the bus previously for their middle school. They actually had a middle school where they travel around, and so the bus had this cool life where it was taking kids all around the Bay Area. But during the pandemic, they decided they wanted to do something different. And so they were selling this bus, and they were so excited that the bus was going to be an LGBTQ+ bookstore. They thought that was the best next life for this bus that they had.
That's really beautiful. It's like it continues the journey of the original owners. What was the symbolism of painting it purple?
We weren't originally going to paint it purple, but luckily Charlie has a friend and neighbor who has a kid that's 5 years old and really wanted to help us with the bus in any way that she could. And she was there the day we were trying to pick paint colors. And Charlie and I really liked this sage green color. We thought that it felt like we were out in nature, and painting a bus is a big deal. It's like a huge surface area. And so to commit to one color felt very stressful. And we had picked this green and we showed it to this child, and she looked at us and she said, why would you paint a bus green when you could paint it purple? And we went to the store and we bought
a huge tub of paint. We only used like a quarter of it to paint the bus. I feel like in our community, in our queer community, purple symbolizes like queerness.
And so I think when people see the bus, not only is it very attractive, like people will see it from far away and they kind of get drawn to it. A lot of people tell us they love the color purple, and people, I think it's an early symbol that it's going to be queer focused because of the color that's like a lavender color.
How does your personal or professional journey inform your work with Out and About?
Good question. I was a first and second grade teacher for a decade, and I love teaching reading. And so that was always a huge part of my work, like making sure that I was getting the right book to the right reader was really important to me. And I also, from the very first year I was in the classroom, always had trans and non-binary students. And so I was collecting a library of books very early on. And even 10 years ago, there weren't very many books. I only had 5 books in my classroom to support a student that transitioned in first grade. And I slowly watched that collection grow every year until I had such a big collection that every teacher in the school would come and get books from me. I remember one day a student ran into the classroom with a little envelope, and I opened it and it said, "We need a book in our classroom because someone decided to change their pronouns this morning and we need to talk to this school about it." And so I stopped what I was doing with my first graders and I found the right book and I sent it back up with the kid. So Out and About kind of brings together all of those things.
So I like to tell everyone this story. I'm 33, and I just got into reading 2 years ago when I met Katie. I knew how to read, but I didn't really like to read because I didn't ever resonate with any of the stories. And so one day, Katie was like, "I just read a book. It has a non-binary character in it. You're going to love it. Trust me." And I sat down, and I read it in one go, and I said, "I want another." And now I read every day. I love reading, and Katie just has this gift of like finding the right book for the right person, and I like experiencing that myself made me be like, oh yeah, she is the person to create this bookshop with, because you're just really got a gift for that.
This wouldn't have been possible without Charlie though, because we had to build out an entire bus. So luckily, not only does Charlie have a background in education, but they also are a woodworker and had just graduated from business school with educational leadership. So luckily we had complementary skills, because before this, I did not know how to use many tools to build anything. And we built shelves and we built a rock wall for the bus. So we luckily had these complementary skills we could use to make the whole thing possible.
I mean, part of what we really love about being a mobile bookshop is that we can come into communities and spaces that might not have access to these stories, might not even have a bookstore near where they live. We also came up with this idea because at the time a lot of books were being banned and still are being banned. And a big part of our mission is to get more LGBTQ books into schools and into classrooms.
When we first opened, we were doing these very small pop-ups by a park, and there was a parent that drove by, saw our bus, immediately stopped in the middle of the intersection, did a U-turn, parked the car, and came on our bus. And it was because they were a queer family, and they, at their public library, they only had 5 books that were about queer families. And it was always the same ones. And they would always go back and ask, "Are there any new ones? What new books can we read to our family?" And so when they saw our bus, they couldn't believe that they were in a space where they could pick up any book, you know, that it was a multitude, that they were surrounded by all of those books. And I think we hear that a lot.
It's really great to have young kids being able to have find connections in the books they read, because it can build their understanding and their feeling of acceptance as they grow up. What hopes do you have for your upcoming Park Day visit?
We have not done as many events in the East Bay as we would have liked to, and so this feels really exciting to come to a school in the East Bay. We love connecting with new communities. Schools are natural communities, and so as soon as we go into a school setting, we've got, you know, not just the microcosm of the students that are there, but we've got their families, and then we've got all of the teachers, the principals, school leaders. So when we go to one school, it's not really just a visit to one school. We're touching on all of those levels, and all of those people have their own communities and networks. I am excited because it sounds like your school does an incredible job of Pride. And so
I can vouch for them personally.
So as a former educator, part of me is just very curious what you do and what it looks like. I love to be in new schools. Every time I go to a school, it feels very exciting to see what the learning looks like. And so I'm personally just excited to witness what that looks like, what the parade looks like. And I feel like every time we go to a school, the kids have so much to show us and to teach us too. I feel like we always come away with so many great stories. And so I'm excited to meet the students at Park Day and find out who they are and what they love, and what they have pride about. We are on Instagram. You can find us at Out and About Bookshop. We can also be reached via email at outandaboutbookshop@gmail.com. And certainly if you're driving around and see a big purple bus, that is most likely our bus. We have some regular locations, and we have a very exciting Pride Month lined up. And the first weekend of Pride is going to be our Pride in the East Bay. So we'll be at Chabot Space and Science Center on June 1st from, I think, 10 to 4. And we've got 50 free guest passes. So families that stop by the bus can get a guest pass from us and go into the museum. They're doing a whole Pride event. And then on June 2nd, we're going to be doing the next installment of this Bay Area Book Fair. And we're going to have the bus there as well with all kinds of books that day, too.
Well, I look forward to seeing your big purple bus. Thank you for this interview again. And that's a wrap.
That was so cool. I can't wait to see their bus on the Park Day campus and know our lower school students are going to have a great time. Celebrating expansive gender expression in the books we read is just one way of expressing your queer identity. There are so many other ways, like your style of dress, the way you talk, or even the way you do your hair.
Drag artistry and performance is another way to break down rigid gender binaries that keep people in boxes and from being their full self. Are you familiar with drag? Drag is an art form and culture that uses endless imagination in clothing, makeup, and performance to empower radical self-expression. Drag performers often sing and dance with huge expressions and make the world their stage.
You might see drag performers in Pride celebrations, and this year at Park Day Pride, we're lucky enough to have two local drag performers host a workshop to help students get ready for our Pride runway.
Up next, we'll be hearing from our two guests, King Lotus Boy and Lael Day, and after that you'll hear how middle school students can sign up to attend the workshop during Pride. All right, take a seat, because the show is starting.
Hi, my name is Lotus Boy. I use he, him, zizir, and they, them pronouns. I like to say I am an unapologetically disabled, neurodivergent, and chronically illustrious transgender and non-binary Chinese American drag king. I like to incorporate any type of art which speaks to my soul and spirit, including, but not limited to, lip-syncing, poetry, monologue, short film, qigong, collage, and a lot more.
Hi, I'm Lael Day, and I use he and they pronouns. I'm an Indigenous artist and drag performer. I am specifically Kanaka Maoli, which is Native Hawaiian, and Mahu, that is our word for a third gender or trans person. Lei is my given Hawaiian name, and I really try to center decolonial practice in my art. Drag, like any other art, can take on so many different forms, and I really try to embrace that fluidity.
Yeah, definitely. And Lei, I wanted to know if you wanted to share with everyone, what's the purpose and significance of drag artistry and performance, both personally for you and or in the greater world?
I think for me, drag is really exciting because traditionally it is a place where folks who maybe don't have a lot of money or are experiencing a lot of marginalization in the world are probably more disempowered in their everyday lives can come together and create art and be heard and have a platform. I really think that that is the greater significance of drag artistry.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. I think just overall drag elevates those, like you said, who are most oppressed in the world and gives us that chance to shine in ways that we may not experience in our everyday lives.
Speaking of drag, to start with a couple of different terms, Lotus, could you explain a little bit about what a drag queen or a drag king is?
Yeah, so historically and traditionally, the word drag queen might have referred to trans women. And the first ever drag queens were trans women of color back when words like transgender weren't yet created. the history of the word drag queen is also very similar and historically might have been used by trans men or masculine people to describe their identity when the word trans man wasn't around.
Yeah, I love personally how you can see the language evolution of the words drag queen and drag king. I think now in kind of our current times, how I would describe those words or how they've evolved is drag queen generally refers to anyone of any gender who centers femininity or hyperfemininity in their performance art. And drag king can be anyone of any gender who centers masculinity or hypermasculinity in their performance art. And even though we're just talking about these couple of terms, I also wanted to share that there are so many genders out there, and likewise, there's so many different identities that drag performers hold. It's truly limitless and very unique to the performance artist.
I think that's what's so beautiful about our community is just the breadth and depth of how different we all are, but at the same time, we have different threads of connection. And I wanted to ask you, Lei, on that note, how do you feel like drag builds and contributes to community and belonging?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. For me, drag brings together so many different types of people. Like I said earlier, you don't have to have a lot of money or experience to do it. It's really about kind of the creation of your ideas, your visions, the fantasy that you're sharing with people through your art. Drag has been historically been a very political thing. You could be sharing your story, your truth. And naturally, when you start putting your art out there, you tend to attract or find people who are similar to you and make you feel like you belong and are a part of the greater community.
I completely agree. And for me personally, I didn't know any other disabled artists or disabled artists of color specifically before I started doing drag. Some of my disabilities are what we call invisible disabilities, which means you can't just know always by looking at me, unless I'm using my cane, that I'm disabled. So disabled people make up the largest group of marginalized folks in the entire world. And a lot of the times people feel the need to hide their disabilities due to systemic ableism. So I didn't have that meaningful connection before. And actually, when I first started performing in drag, I wasn't out about my disabilities. I wasn't sharing that with people. And that was really harmful to me because I was ashamed, I was embarrassed, and then I wasn't living as my full self. But just like Lei said, when you meet other people who you see living authentically and unapologetically and as themselves and all parts of themselves, it makes you feel supported and empowered to do the same. And with drag, the beautiful thing is a lot of drag artists find a drag family. And drag families are just like your blood family or your chosen family. And they're people who will support you, love you, and help you out in times of need, help you with your performances, and just really make you feel loved and cared for.
Yeah, and I feel like finding that chosen drag family and chosen family in general, which I feel like a lot of LGBTQ people end up finding, mm-hmm. Has really helped me significantly. So drag has been so instrumental in creating that that community. Could you share a little bit more about your personal journey within drag?
Sure. So I started drag just a little bit over 6 years ago, and I'd always been a fan of drag in high school when I first saw drag things on TV, and I had a lot of gay friends who liked drag, but at the time, I only saw drag queens, and I just thought, okay, well, I don't necessarily want to be a queen, and that's not really resonant with my gender expression or identity, although I do love and appreciate the art form, but I always thought that it wasn't for me. But I always knew since I was younger that I was different and that I wasn't cisgender. I wasn't what people were telling me I was supposed to be, but I didn't yet have the word transgender or gender nonconforming or non-binary. So like a lot of us queer and trans folks and a lot of people who eventually find drag, I had to suppress my gender and my true selves for a really long time due to internalized transphobia and homophobia, which are, you know, these hateful ideologies and systems that make us feel like we're wrong just for being ourselves. And becoming a drag king at age 22 was that big push I needed to finally actually come out as trans and non-binary. I think I came out about 6 months, maybe 4 months, I can't remember, after I started drag. And it's been really beautiful because a lot of my drag siblings have done the same. Like, we started out as like, oh, we're just having fun, we're exploring. And then drag really helped us solidify who we are and who we are still becoming. What about you, Lay?
Yeah, like, super similarly, I would say drag has really helped me not just step into my like trans identity, but really feel strong in it. Before doing drag, I was doing a lot of different kinds of art, different kinds of performance art, but it wasn't fully authentic to me. And when I started kind of more seriously transitioning, I found drag, and it really helped me figure out not only who I wanted to be on stage and play with these very like hyper versions of like masculinity and femininity, and that kind of translated to my everyday life. And I feel like that's really helped me feel more at peace in myself every day. So I really enjoy drag a lot.
Me too. And I'm pretty excited to bring this beautiful connective art form to Park Day's Pride celebration. What are you hoping to bring to everyone, or what are you hoping to get out of our workshop?
I really hope to see people engage in play, and I want to name it can feel maybe even vulnerable to try to step into drag, because I think people might feel like drag is a certain way, but what I love about drag is it's all about exploration and creation, and it can be a very new and unique thing to each person.
Yeah, that was my answer. Just trying new things, because everyone has to start somewhere with any type of art form, right? Like, I can remember the very first time I did a musical or a play when I was in high school, and that experience was just so electrifying and kind of was the starter of my journey of becoming a performance artist. And it can be scary at times, but ultimately we're all here to support each other, mm-hmm. and we're all here to have fun. Ultimately, that's what play is about, having fun. And also, I hope people maybe find something that makes them feel confident, mm-hmm. and excited. You know, maybe they will try on a new lipstick color that they've never tried, or put on a hat they've never worn. You know, drag doesn't have to be this huge, big, mm-hmm. show-stopping thing. It can be as simple as a new color of something, a one article of clothing, even a song that you've never performed or listened to before. And that's what I love about drag. Like you said, it's really up to each person to define what that is.
Yeah, exactly. For anyone that's completely unfamiliar with drag, is there anything that you want to share with them ahead of time, Lotus?
Yeah, so one thing is that anyone can do drag. Anyone of any gender can do drag, and anyone of any gender can do any type of drag. That was something that I didn't know when I first heard about drag. Like I said, I didn't see any trans, non-binary, or trans masculine people doing drag, even though they were doing it. I just personally didn't see it or have access to it. But as we said before at the very beginning, that trans folks and drag artists have existed for a very long time. Mm. But anyone can do it. But what's most important is that you are having fun and that you feel good about it. You can feel a little nervous, and maybe you're like, oh, well, nervous doesn't feel good. But ultimately, you feel aligned with what you're doing. You feel like this is something that feels good deep in your gut, in your stomach, and in your heart as well. What about you, Lay? Is there anything that you want to leave the Park Day with?
For us at Park Day Pride is making noise, making people feel appreciated, clapping, getting loud. I think for me, the center of drag is that no one does drag alone. Mm-hmm. No one starts out being super successful or knowing everything. You are participating in your community, you're making friends, you're connecting to the history that's been there before you. And even as an audience member, you are a part of the process. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like how you're interacting with the performer, your positivity and your joy that you're sharing because of the joy and the art they're sharing with you. So I'm super excited for Park Day's Pride celebration.
We can't wait to meet you all, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Wow, I learned a lot there. And it's amazing to hear how drag has helped both Lael Day and Lotus Boy find community and express themselves in such intersectional ways.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to their workshop. With that in mind, we want to let middle school students know that even though Lael Day and Lotus Boy are drag artists, the workshop itself is more about exploring self-expression and a great way to get ideas for the Pride runway and variety show on Friday. Maybe there's a cool outfit you want to wear down the runway, a poem you want to recite, or a song you want to sing. The workshop is the perfect place for you to do just that. Workshop your ideas in a supportive environment. By the way, you don't have to be queer to attend. This workshop is for everyone, no matter how you express your gender.
How do you sign up?
Oh yeah, middle school students who want to attend can sign up on the sign-up form that we emailed you. That's also where you can sign up to participate in our Pride Runway show. You can also just show up to the Great Room when it's time for the workshop.
Yep, and all other students not participating in the workshop will be watching a film called Changing the Game, an award-winning documentary about the lives of three transgender high school athletes and their fight to participate in the sports they love.
If any of what you've heard on this episode makes you want to lend your voice to support gender inclusivity, there are many ways you can join in. Up next, we're going to be hearing about several calls to action from another GSA member, Elo.
Hi, I'm Elo, and if you really knew me, you'd know that I make my own jewelry. There are many ways to affirm the LGBTQ+ community, but for now, let me tell you about three. First, let's start by focusing on yourself. You just heard about the Pride Runway Workshop. That's a great way to explore and express yourself, whatever your gender identity is. Sign up now to join and walk the runway to show off your style. Again, the sign-up is in your email. The same form will also allow you to submit a piece of art to be featured in the Prideful Expressions art exhibit. We are accepting art of all kinds, and we need them to be in by Wednesday, May 22nd. The last thing I wanted to mention is the GSA Issue Agenda Survey. To combat the growing movement to remove LGBTQ+ student rights and protections in schools across California. This anonymous survey is designed to gather student perspectives and will shape the GSA's networks statewide for trans, queer, and two-spirit people, which is a movement to enable them to plan more targeted resources, coordinate actions, and support local GSAs. You can find the link to this survey in the same email we just mentioned. Thank you for supporting in your own special way.
All right, as you just heard, there are a lot of ways to celebrate Pride this year at Park Day. We hope you learn a lot, connect with our beautiful, inclusive community, and have a ton of fun this Friday.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone wearing their class colors for our all-school Pride picture. What about you?
I'm looking forward to the workshop and being able to learn more about drag and drag performance.
I'm looking forward to expressing myself with all my friends.
We want to say thank you to all of today's guests, Katie, Charlie, Lay, and Lotus, for sharing their empowering perspectives and visiting us this Friday.
And we also want to thank the Queer Peer Student Group at Lick Wilmerding High School for visiting us online and in person. They really helped inspire us this year.
Okay, friends, before we go, we want to encourage you to share this episode with your family and friends so they can learn more about how we're celebrating Pride and supporting LGBTQ+ inclusivity here at Park Day.
And while you're at it, don't forget to like and subscribe to If You Knew Me Mondays, and maybe even leave a positive review.
Well then, that does it for this episode. Once again, we're your hosts, Juicebur,
Oliver,
and Keaton.
Thank you for tuning in, and
Happy Pride, everyone!